world is room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill the promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. It is Thursday, which means it's birthday, the February 26th, 2015. Welcome to the show, Bert.
Hey, thank you for having me, sir. This month seems like it flew by.
Time seems to be moving at an ever-increasing rate, doesn't it?
Yeah, man. Is that because we're getting old?
Well, some would say it's because the end of times are near.
Behold the end of days.
I'll tell you what. Speaking of that, I was listening to this guy, and I've got him scheduled as a guest. Someone actually sent me the information, an interview he did. If you go to YouTube and you search this guy, fantastic information he's got. His name's Scott McQuaid. McQuaite, and he's got several websites, but just search his name and check out his stuff, because my God, he goes. we're gonna have him on the show for 2 days, actually, coming up May 9th and 10th, which is Monday and Tuesday, because wow, the information this guy has is mind-boggling. He goes into the Bible like I've never heard before, and he said he's done like tens of thousands of hours of research. He's got this really cool group going on, but I'm really excited because he talks about the creation of man and the DNA structure that is all throughout the Bible. For instance, the word rib is a shortened version of ribonucleic acid, RNA, DNA. So fascinating stuff. You're going to be amazed. That's coming up the 9th and the 10th. But anyway, what's new with you, Bert?
Well, I'm now engaging in this subject, one of your favorite ones, vaccination.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We've certainly been looking into that lately, and we've come up with some pretty interesting conclusions on the purpose of vaccines. But I'm sure you're speaking of the legal fiction revolving around it.
Yeah, basically how to protect yourself from the coercion of vaccines. So we're actually going to be engaging here pretty soon the courts about your right to say no, like Nancy Reagan used to say, just say no.
Do not invoke Nancy Reagan on this show.
Why, you and her broke up or something?
That twat. I don't want to have anything to do with the Reagans, or for that matter, any of the left or right presidents. They're all horrible. Anyway, I just said that word. I didn't mean to. Sorry. But yeah, she started the war on drugs, right? Wasn't that what she was famous for?
Well, she said just say no, which I mean I kind of agree with her. Yeah. Americans need to learn to just say no.
It's true,
you know,
because and we're talking about consent here, because remember, silence is consent.
Yeah, so we're beginning to engage the courts, and what we're trying to do is set up groups in each state, and then break down each group to each county, And then, you know, engage this whole idea of the declaratory judgment. Get a declaratory judgment on your right to say no.
Well, so the declaratory judgment in this case, you're actually getting one from a judge that says these are your rights, your right to say no, basically, I mean to exempt yourself, if you will.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, and it's going to be a very simple thing. But what we want to do, which is the same thing that you and I have always spoken about, that it's better to come at the beast, you know, with 1,000 beast stings than just one big giant bee.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you've talked about this often, which is to basically to get people organized so that not only to support one another, like if you have a nice support group in your town, your county, that you can call on and say, hey, I'm going to be in court this day. I'd really like it for you to show up so that I can show that I have an audience, and even so that I can, you know, we talked about everybody making complaints against judges.
Well, the complaint thing, I mean, that seems to be a wasted effort, generally speaking. And I'm actually looking at another angle of, instead of dealing with, this is kind of tangent on the subject, but instead of dealing directly with the judge, to deal directly with the court, as opposed to complaining about the judge, complain about the court. Because the court itself is a business.
Well, who are you going to complain to?
Well, you can begin with the chief judge, and then try to find out the corporate mechanism of the particular court, and address it basically like a business, like you would address any other business.
Interesting.
But anyway, that's a sidebar, but. The main thing here that I'm going to be working in here, and I'm actually going to set up a section on the website to deal specifically with this whole idea of the vaccine groups, and we're going to start putting up information and various links so people that want more information on it, including the work you've done. But basically, it's just going to be that simple question. Do you have the right to say no, or does the other party, any of these agencies, have the right to force their vaccines on you? And if the answer is no, you don't have the right to say no, and yes, they have a right to coerce you into accepting the vaccine, then that makes it pretty clear that we are their property, and then that will open up the door for a different type of action.
Well,
because if you're that property, then you know they have to kind of treat you like property.
You're going to need guidance as property. Well, so I mean, I can't imagine that they would come back and say yes, though. I mean, that would be pretty
pretty revealing.
Well, yeah, it's a good idea, but I mean, if they did say yes, I mean, then what?
Well, then we can say, well, we got a few bills for you. You haven't been maintaining this old cow very well. And let me give you a few bills for you to pay for, because I'm obviously your property, so here's all the stuff that I've been paying on your behalf. And then that will open up a whole new kind of ball game. But more than that, it will make it clear that people are property. So I'm going to start putting together these different questions that will have to be placed before the court. But that's the basic foundation of it. But of course, we'll build up to it. We'll ask other questions that will cause them to basically answer the proper question in our favor.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
If you look at history, it was very common throughout all the nations to force mandatory vaccination. I mean, that was not, it was compulsory by certain statutes. It was not uncommon at all. And you find in a lot of countries where they fully vaccinated people, that would bring on like the death plague. And hundreds of thousands of people would die. So it certainly is not at all out of the ordinary to see a nation, especially one of the monarchical, nations, create a mandatory vaccine policy. And it certainly has done. They've done it in the United States. They've certainly done it in our military. So it shouldn't be difficult for people to accept that mandatory vaccines are probably just around the corner.
Yeah, so basically what we want to do is put together our own version of the vaccine to the vaccines and see how they like it.
What do you mean?
Well, if we get enough people with their own little judgment saying that they have the right to say no, then that will sort of become the vaccine to vaccine coercion. Right?
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, so that's the project that I'm working on at the moment. They're getting ready to basically start with that project, and I'm also going to be working with Sally, Sally. In New York,
mm-hmm.
and a few other people across the country, along with the other various projects that I have going.
Well, I've often said that all those different anti-vax groups need to get together and organize, and sounds like you can maybe do that.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I mean, there's so many groups out there, and what I'm really trying to do is see if we can bring these people together. And actually, I had a meeting earlier today with some of these folks that are putting together a team in California. And I was saying we need to find the common ground, find the things that are common among us, instead of trying to find the things that make us different. Because as we begin to look, we begin to realize we have a lot more in common than not, even with our very so-called enemies. So if we look at things from that point of view, then it begins to make a lot more sense.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about this the declaratory judgment, because this is the same route that KW and his group are doing, and it seems to be a very powerful tool. So what is your familiarity with declaratory judgments?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to it, but I kind of don't want to really talk about it too much on the air, because it's one of those things that people will grab onto and think that it's some kind of a silver bullet. And there's really no one technique or one approach that's going to work in court unless there's another whole series of things that you have done for your own self. Because if you have not defined where you are or what your position is, no declaratory judgment, no any kind of judgment is going to help you.
Well, Black's Law defines it as a declaratory judgment is one which simply declares the rights of the parties or expresses the opinion of the court on a question of law without ordering anything to be done. And this is why I was so into the notion of what KW was saying, because, if you have something that you can actually, a declaratory judgment that shows that you're not under the jurisdiction of police when it comes to the DMV code, and they say have a nice day when they see that, but of course you've done so much other work besides that, you've given up a lot of things. That's a very powerful tool.
Yeah, well, and I mean the main thing that's really important to comprehend about the declaratory judgment is that you want to really employ it prior to getting into litigation with someone, because you want to clarify. I mean, there's different reasons that you can use the declaratory judgment, but the main thing, as at least from the point of view that I'm coming from, is to declare certain specific rights. Because once your rights are known, then it makes the rest of the litigation much easier, especially when dealing with a corporation.
Yeah.
Because remember, whenever these people get you into court, they want to get you into arguing the facts. And the facts are irrelevant if they don't apply to your rights.
Yeah, facts are kind of secondary if there's no case to apply them to.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the main thing that I'm sticking with. But now that I'm kind of moving down this road a bit, you know, deeper, or I don't even know how to describe it, I'm going to actually demand a little bit more from the people that I'm going to be working with. And one of the things that I'm working on right now, it's an oath. I'll send it to you here in a bit. Because the whole idea of taking an oath, at least with the government, is huge. And people don't seem to be shy about giving their oath to the government. But then when you ask them, like, well, have you ever thought about giving an oath to God and some of your fellow men? Oh, well, I don't know about that. I'm going to have to think about that. Because, you know, I'm not exactly religious, or, you know, I'm not too sure about this Bible thing. And you start hearing all kinds of buts. Yet, these people will go in front of a judge acting as a juror, and the juror says, raise your right hand. How high, Your Honor? That's high enough. Repeat after me. Right now or later? Oh, just repeat after me. I mean, they're robots when it comes to the government telling them to take an oath.
Well, it's true, and of course the Bible's pretty adamant about not taking oaths. However, that doesn't preclude one from taking vows, and the difference between a vow and an mm-hmm. oath, you know, that's pretty important, because a vow can only really be to God. So, mm-hmm. a promise as opposed to an oath, a written type of oath, is much different, yeah. You're right,
so,
I mean, they will just bend over backwards and take it when it comes to that.
Yeah, so here's the logic behind this. If you go into court and they want you to take, you know, a vow to their law, and you say, well, Your Honor, I've got this other vow over here that I took to a higher law, that is my comprehension, it's above yours, and in fact, yours honors. So I can't take your oath, but I will stand on my vow, that is to uphold the highest law.
Well, so, you know, the other, you generally have a choice between oath and affirmation. Affirmation mainly, like, for instance, when the president of the Mormon Church Corporation goes to court, they make an affirmation. They will not swear to God. They will affirm without God, so that God is not their judge, but they'll never ever swear to tell the truth under God or an oath.
Yeah.
So
that's basically what we're working on here. I'll put it on the just like the, one of the drafts that we've been working on. We've been kicking this idea now for a while, and I'm going to want people to do something like this at some point, because, and I mean, I get a lot of people wanting help, but yet they themselves are not willing to act in honor. So how can I help them keep anybody else in honor? It's...
Well, give us some examples, like when you say people don't want to stand in honor.
Well, like, for example, someone who's got caught driving drunk, for example, and they want help to get out of it.
So they couldn't stand in honor if they tried?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a difficult position to help someone in, you know? I mean, I had one guy one time contact me saying, well, you know, I received this check from the realtor for, I think it was like $2,700 or something. And now the realtor's trying to sue me for that $2,700. And then after asking him a few questions and everything, come to find out that he had apparently sold some piece of property, and the realtor erroneously sent him this $2,700 thinking that it was additional funds that were owed to him on the sale, and it was an error. So the realtor asked for it back.
That's false consideration.
Well, whatever it is, the point is that the guy wanted me to help him not pay it back.
Right.
I can't help you do that.
Well, false consideration basically means you accept something when it's not your due, when it's not, you know, that's exaction, and you cannot, we're not allowed to do that. Government's allowed to do that to us, but we're not allowed to do that to each other.
Yeah, so I'm like, how, what do you mean? So what happened to the money? Well, I already spent it. I said, but wait a minute. So you spent it knowing that it wasn't yours? Well, she shouldn't have sent it to me if I wasn't going to spend it. I said, well, what do you mean? You knew it wasn't yours. How can I help you, in this situation? And the guy got all upset with me. Oh, you this, you that. I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't help you. You know, go help yourself. Go get an attorney. I'm sure an attorney will help you. But I can't help you.
Well, we've spoken on this before. We've read the maxims of law. We've read all that stuff. A lot of that comes out of the Bible. Yeah, if you're not in honor, then you should never expect anyone else or anything else to be, right? I mean, if you're living in dishonor in the first place, which is what citizenship is, unfortunately. But I mean, if you're standing in dishonor, and you're, I mean, I don't even have to say this, you know, it's so obvious. But for some reason, it's not obvious to people.
No, it's not, and that's that's the thing with. With this whole idea of an oath that, or an affirmation, that if you are that afraid to affirm, to uphold 10 basic laws, which are like those 10 laws of the commandment, then how can you take an oath or an affirmation to uphold the millions of regulations that the state, municipality in the United States have for you? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and you know, we did a whole show on the commandments, you and me, a while back, and it was a really good show, or however many shows it was, but it took us a long time to describe what the commandments actually meant, right? To understand what it means to have no gods before me. That's not just a surface application. That's a really deep, deep, deep notion that you have to understand what it means, and you have to understand that government is a god. You know, so the notion of the Ten Commandments, when it boils down to it, is actually the most logical, reasonable thing you could adhere to. You don't even need religiosity to understand the logic and the reason, because it's just based on reason. Whereas all of this legal code is actually, when you get down to it, for the most part, it's anti-reason. It's against all notions of reason. And that's actually a big part of this. Why do we not know all of these millions of code? Why are these millions of code in existence in the first place? Well, because it's so against reason that you can't help but break them. That's the whole point of them, is to induce, to summon you, to summon your demon, so that because you're acting against reason. Everything we do nowadays is pretty much against our own best interest, our own reason, and that's what legal law is for. Anyway, what else is new on your plate? Oh, you know, I meant to tell you, I had a guy call me, been on his show, and he's been on mine before. His name's Breiser out of Ireland, and he said he listened to our show that we did. I don't know if it was last week or the week before about mortgages, and he said that he had the similar type of situation, and he sent the bank a promise to pay. Essentially, he said, "Look, 2.5 years ago, he sent them a promise to pay. I'm going to pay you what I can, which is going to be between $500 and $300 for the next, until this. You know, if you have a problem with that, you know, let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to send you." And so he's been sending these checks to the bank. You know, sometimes $5, sometimes $200, and after 2.5 years, they're now coming back and saying he's in default. And exactly. He went to court, and the judge was so used to this type of behavior from the corrupt bank or the corrupt company, whatever it is, and he walks in there and he shows the judge his promise to pay, and the judge is like, "Why wasn't this submitted? Why isn't this in consideration before the court?" The judge was actually very upset at the bank or whatever company it was, mortgage company, because they had not shown, they had not presented the evidence that this guy, that they had accepted payments for 2.5 years according to a new promise to pay. So they have no right now to take his home because they accepted his promise to pay. Not only do they accept the promise to pay, but there's evidence that they accepted because they're accepting his payments. So just from that, he's going to, I think, get the case dismissed. The banks are not standing in honor. I mean, that's amazing.
That's it. Yeah, that's the key. And I mean, this is, that's all these various tools are out there. If you, of course, know about them, first of all, and then if you are going to employ them while acting in honor.
Yeah.
That's the only way it will work. It's not going to work if you're trying to get something for nothing. I mean, like all this accepted for value stuff that was going under for a while, I've never been sold on it because it never made lawful sense to me. And it never made legal sense, and I never found anything that really supported it.
Well, you find
a lot of people got in trouble with that.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people misused it. It does have a certain purpose, but not for what people are using it for.
Yeah, and so again, I mean, all of these things that we're highlighting to people, a lot of them sound good, but you cannot build a house if you know how to pound a nail. You got to know a lot more.
It's true.
That's how it goes with all of this kind of stuff.
All right, folks, we'll be back.
You can get in trouble if all you know how to do is pound a nail.
It's true. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's
888-311-4311. Did you see the frightened ones? Did you hear the falling bombs? Did you ever wonder why we had to run for shelter when the promise of a brave new world unfurled beneath the clear blue sky?
Look, Mummy, there's no place.
Chaos theory, hurricane control, advanced cloud seeds, massive ionospheric heaters, storm-absorbing supergels, nanoscale weather machines. All of these technologies exist in some form today.
Look, Mummy, there's no
plane
up in the sky.
All right, folks, one here in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Bert, Freeman Bert. That's onlyfreemen.com. Onlyfreemen.com. That is not a men's club, by the way. That is for all sexes. Just a legal term, folks. Just a legal term. So, Bert, you sent me... it's called a declaration to abide by the highest law. What is this?
This is what we were talking about earlier, that we're working on this to have someone put this thing together prior to beginning really any kind of legal action. And this is to allow you to be in a position of authority, to be in a position of jurisdiction.
So we're talking about, well, let's see, affirmation to abide by the highest law. Sorry, my cat just walked in front of my screen. Look at there. I do solemnly declare that I will faithfully execute the basic principles of law embodied in the Ten Commandments and in the teachings of Jesus above all laws, excuse me. I do solemnly declare that I shall, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Ten Commandments, which are also found in the King James Bible and in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5, for the benefit of men, and which reads as follows, and of course you list the Ten Commandments. What's the purpose of this?
Well, one of the main purposes is for you yourself to know the law that you're abiding by. I mean, it's one thing to go to court and say, I'm not bound by your law. I don't have to do anything that you tell me to do. And there's a difference between you going in and saying, I'm sorry, I cannot bow to your law because I'm already honoring this other law. And unless you can show that I'm violating this other law, then I don't see how I have violated any of yours.
Well, the only problem I see with this, and this is just healthy debate here, isn't this similar to going in and invoking the Constitution when that court is not a constitutional court, which is the courts that handle all of us? Would this not be similar to that? Where, I mean, if you're in that court, you're in the fiction. You've already turned your back on God if you're in that court, right? So would this actually apply in that respect?
I don't think I understand the question.
Well, like I said, let's just say you were doing this and you were invoking the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's apply it to the judge. Judges, aren't the judges applying their oath to the Constitution?
Well, no, that's the whole point. They are in admiralty. They're in international law. They have nothing to do with the Constitution. That's why they don't accept the Constitution.
Well, so what is the oath that they take? What is the power of their oath?
Well, I mean, when we looked in Utah here, we looked at we had a group here that looked at and tried to find everybody's oath. And when we requested all the oaths, we found out that about at least 70% of all public officials did not have a written oath on file. It was not.
Well, and what if they did? What difference would that make?
Well, again, we're not talking about constitutional courts here. We're talking about administrative courts. We're not talking about. So there is no oath to the Constitution. In other words, the oath to the Constitution, if they did take one, would not apply in the jurisdiction that you're in. That's why they say I'm not going to honor the Constitution in this court. So why would they honor the Bible?
Well, then why would the judge want you to take any kind of an oath? Well, let's say you're a juror and they're getting to swear you in into the office of juror.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to take an oath to exercise this office. So if your oath has no value, then why is this oath that you're about to take have any value? You see my point?
Well, I mean, to an extent, like I said, I mean, if you're going, I guess what I'm comparing this to is if you're going into the devil's den, you're going into the pit of hell that is the bar, then what makes you think you can, which is in an international group of attorneys in representation and under admiralty law, under commercial law, not common and not constitutional in any way, shape, or form, then, and you're not even going necessarily as a man of God, you're going as an agent or a person. So what makes you think that this, I mean, in what application are you going to use this thing is my question.
Well, that was right there. The point that I'm saying, if I am being asked by the judge, you know, lift your right hand and repeat after me, I'm going to swear you into office. I said, I'm sorry, you can't do that. I already have an affirmation that I made to a higher law, and all I can do in this capacity is assure you that I will exercise everything in fairness underneath these Ten Commandments.
Well, yeah, but so,
that's
okay.
That's the best I can do.
And I understand that, but then when you go into court and you say, I am Clint Richardson, you've just automatically been thrown into a whole different set of law. So, I guess I'm trying to say it's a moot point. It's as good as it will be until you admit that you are either the agent or the name. And at that point, you're becoming or entering into a completely different jurisdiction than this would apply to. You're going from God to fiction.
Well, if you're there standing as just a man, acting as the agent for the fiction, and they want you as the agent to take an oath on behalf of the fiction, well, you don't have to. Especially if you already took an affirmation to a higher law that says you cannot take another oath.
Well, all right. Well, we'll have to look into this. Are you putting this to the court before you ever go to court?
Well, you want to make this part of your paperwork prior to you really engaging in any activity, so that if anything ever comes up in court about you taking an oath or an affirmation to anything in their system, well, now you have something in play. And there, I just put you some of the other oaths that that people take, and no one bats an eye about, like the pledge.
The only flaw that I would see, if that's your goal, then is that you don't say that you won't take any other law. You might want to add that to it.
That you will not do what?
Well, it says, I do solemnly declare that I will faithfully execute the basic principles of law embodied in the Ten Commandments and the teachings of Jesus. But you don't say. That doesn't mean you're not going to take any other law under your belt.
Right, because you may enter into a contract with someone, and then you have to honor that contract.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. The second you enter the name, or appear as the name, or as the agent for the name, you're entering into contractual law. You're entering into admiralty. So, I guess I'm just not following. It just needs to be...
Well, no, because you're making a conclusion there, and I don't agree with that conclusion.
Well, like the judge is going to tell you, you are either here as the agent or you are here as the name. Which
right.
one is?
So I'll say I'm there as the agent.
Well, all right.
And as the agent, I already took an affirmation, and which does not allow me to enter into any other oath. So don't even attempt to give me any oath. I'm not going to take it. What questions do you have about the franchise that I can answer for you?
Well, I'd like to see it applied before I would. I think it needs to be, rooted out before it has any legitimacy.
Well, okay, so then let's look at some of these other oaths of office. The one that's in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 8 of the alleged Constitution. No one seems to have a trouble with that.
Before he enter on the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will do will to the best of my ability preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah. Come, no one has a trouble, any problem with that. No one questions that. What about the other one? The one to the flag.
Well, yeah, that has a real seated history, doesn't it? I remember some of the court cases. The kids used to hold up their. They were required to hold up their right hand, Hitler style, and say a different pledge than we have today. They added to the God part of it later.
Propaganda. So you think they're talking about some kind of a great God, when in reality it can only be something of corporate nature. So how come people don't have any trouble with this Pledge of Allegiance? But as soon as you bring in something that has to do with God or the Ten Commandments, people are, wait, but, hey, let's do this, but, let's do that. Why is that?
Well, for one thing, nobody's taking the first one. That's the oath of office for president. Only one person is taking that.
Yeah, but everybody else is honoring it. And everybody does this Pledge of Allegiance, and then anyone that becomes a policeman, they give some kind of an oath. Anyone who takes many of these government jobs, they give an oath. Anyone who joins the military, they take an oath. They don't question it. They don't doubt it.
Well, no, and we've certainly talked about that before, and they're actually taking it in the military. They're taking an oath to the president, not to the... Their oath is to obey the president, not any form of moral law or anything else, even the Constitution. It was just basically, I will obey the orders of my president, which is more scary than I... You know, that's the scariest oath of all to me.
Yeah, so... So, you know, was doing here with this oath is basically I'm using the same approach that that they use for the other various oaths that they take. You know, like here I'm going to give you the one from that the justices take. You know, and this is from U.S. Code 28. Let me put it here. Bam, zoom. Do you see it there in the chat?
Oh, it's the justices and judges.
Mm-hmm.
Each justice or judge of the United States shall take the following oath or affirmation before performing the duties of his office. And remember, affirmation is to exclude God. That's the whole point of affirming. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will administer justice. Well, there you go. There's its administrative admiralty law. Administer justice without respect to persons, and do equal right to the poor and to the rich, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform all the duties incumbent upon me as whatever under the Constitution and laws of the United States, so help me God. Well, see, this is a very important oath because we don't pick it apart and define the terms. When it says discharge the duties, well, you know what he's talking about there. Those are debts. They're talking about us in that capacity. Discharging of debts. And then the Constitution and laws of the United States. See, that those are two separate things. So, yeah, he's gonna take an oath to the Constitution, and if anything constitutional comes his way, he'll certainly walk out of the room and walk back a new man and claim that he's in a new jurisdiction. But for the most part, he's going to be under the laws of the United States, not the Constitution.
Okay, but my point is that this thing ends with so help me God, and no one questions it.
Sure.
But yet, you tell someone to do, you know, to give an oath, like what I've presented here, and, you know, most people are going to be but. So, well, if Uncle Sam asked you to raise your right hand, you'd be like, how high, sir? You know, you're not gonna doubt it. Now, if you go down this thing to the last page, you will notice what we're also doing here. And basically what we're trying to do is get, and we're starting to enter this into our papers that we do in various cases, trying to get the man to identify himself by his first name and then to seal his papers with a fingerprint. And avoid using any kind of a written symbol for a signature. We discussed this last time, right?
Yeah.
And then what I'm putting in here is also at least three witnesses. And here's the difference between what I'm what I'm trying to do here and what this oath that this judges and everybody else takes. They take their oaths to no one. Okay? It's an oath that just goes into thin air. There's no one binding them. There's no one that is acting as a witness that is going to hold them to their oath. So what we're trying to do here is you to find three people, and that's why right for now we're just calling them witnesses, but that's going to change. Three people that will not just be witnesses, but they will be like testators, you know, people that will be able to testify to your truthfulness, or the truthfulness of your oath, which means that they could actually become witnesses against you if you don't uphold your oath. So it's a different ball game, you know. And you would want to have those three witnesses pretty much constant. You know, if one of them was to die, then you want to replace it.
All right, stick it.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
I have a testimony about how wonderful heart drops are. I ended up at Mayo Clinic, just had an awful time with angina and related problems to my heart problem. I remembered that I'd run out of heart drops and had reordered. And when I started taking them again, all these problems went away. And I just want to say how great these heart drops are. I'd recommend them to anyone.
I had my last heart attack in August, and I was having some form of angina pain pretty well every day. And then since I started taking it, I haven't had any angina pain at all. You know, I'm satisfied.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
All right, folks, welcome back. I don't know, Bert. I have a whole this whole oath thing has always kind of thrown me, because when I'm going back to this, each justice or judge of the United States And I read this, and I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will administer justice without respect to persons. Well, wait a minute. How can they possibly do that? And do, you know, so obviously this oath doesn't apply to things that are within the laws of the United States. In other words, this oath really only, most of it only pertains to the Constitution, of which does not apply to any of us. So it's kind of a pointless oath, as it pertains to us, because we're acting under the laws of the United States, not under the Constitution.
Well, but it doesn't matter. I mean, we were...
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Like,
how does it not matter?
It doesn't matter because the whole thing is hearsay. Everything is hearsay. If you don't have a contract with anyone else, it's pretty much hearsay.
I don't think an oath can be considered hearsay.
Well, who's going... If I give an oath to that tree outside the window, who's going to bind me to that oath?
Well, and that's very clever, and ha ha ha, but that's not what oaths are for. Oaths are only among men, and that's the higher reason of man. So you can't really use that type of comical relief. It has nothing to do with the tree.
That's right, because the oath is between myself and the tree. The tree would have to come after me to uphold my oath, to make sure that I'm upholding my oath. So if you're making an oath to a constitution, that constitution will have to get up and come and slap you across the head and tell you that you're violating your oath. So an oath must involve a contract with someone else. Otherwise, it's just spitting in the wind.
Well, all right.
Every contract is... In a way, it's like an oath. It's an affirmation that you're making. But it's between you and another man. And that's why all these oaths relative to the Constitution and all that, it's all BS. It's just show. It's propaganda. No one is bound by any of those things. In fact, I was reading some cases about this oath of office that the jurors take, and someone was complaining about one of the jurors. And the decision came to be, well, you know, as long as the juror basically does his job and enters a decision, that's what matters. So they didn't really consider the oath to be much of anything. It's just a psychological game to get you to do something or to get other people to believe that you are really going to do something. I took an oath to the moon that if I don't do this, the moon is going to crush me. Oh man, that guy's really telling the truth now.
Well, I don't disagree with you there, but I think you're belittling the legal power of an oath. And
yes,
probably
exactly that's what I'm saying. I'm belittling it.
Well, yes, but see, remember, there was no contracts way back when, which is not that long ago. People couldn't read or write, so I mean, everything was word. So I think you're belittling words, spoken words, in lieu of written words here. So anyway, we'll talk some more about it when we get back. Folks, if you like calling the show today, feel free. Stay tuned.
With financial uncertainty.